Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, we're not so fastly moving into summer, but we are in the gardens now. Maybe a reminder to our listeners about what we're hearing is the overprevalence of ticks.
Well, we know there are a lot of ticks out there. I have my Alan socks pulled up over my pants, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So that they can't get me, but they can, you know. I've pulled them off before. And it's something that everybody really has to look out for. You have to have somebody else in your family doing an inspection because you can't see behind your back. And, you know, these things can be quite deadly. I can't tell you the number of people I've talked to, if not deadly, who have suffered really badly from Lyme disease. That's part of what we have to contend with, and it has to be part of our lives being preventative about not getting those ticks on you.
Oh, the Justice Department has agreed to turn over key Mueller evidence to the House. The scope of the material, says the Times, is not immediately clear, but Democrats believe it could shed light on possible obstruction of justice by President Trump.
You know, David, one and one makes two. It's so obvious. We know that this attorney general has become a shill for the president. So when he agrees to turn over documents and other things, one has to wonder which documents he's going to turn over and which he's not. And quite clearly, you're pushing me, you're pushing me, you're pushing me. I finally say, okay, we'll do it. We'll give you some of the documents. Well, you don't have to be Einstein to figure out that the ones that they're going to give you, hopefully for them, will be the ones that don't get you into trouble, right?
The Mexico tariffs worked, says President Trump, emboldening a trade fight with China. He now has backed off the threat to Mexico, vowing to hit Beijing harder.
Well, you know, one distraction or another. Now, the Mexican thing is fascinating. He says that there were secret agreements secretly arrived at. Let's see, which president said something about that? Woodrow Wilson. That's not the way you want to be represented in the United States, to say we arrived at a decision, but we can't tell you what it is. Then you get the Mexican foreign minister standing up there and saying, everything that we've done, people know about. So somebody's not telling the truth, and it's really very unattractive for freedom of information and for being transparent. That's for sure.
Democrats today, Alan, will twist the vice of accountability, this from CNN, around President Donald Trump one notch higher, marshaling the power of the House to compel cooperation from two of the president's men, Barr and McGahn.
Well, to me, it's very hard to believe that, you know, this president is going to back off. He knows that these guys have more information than he wants out there. So, in the name of executive privilege, or whatever they're going to call it this time, he's making an argument that they shouldn't come, and he's arguing that he has the power. This is where dictatorships start, David. I'm not kidding. This is where, when you have coordinate branches of government, and one says to the other, I'm not going to listen to you, no matter what, even though it's in the Constitution, when you do that, it's the opening of the door, and we know it.
Speaking of, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials, says the Washington Post, apparently have taken photos of travelers into and out of the U.S. in a data breach, which included photos of people's license plates, Alan, which had been compromised as part of what is called an attack on a federal subcontractor.
What can I tell you? The assumption that anybody can talk on a phone, that nobody's listening? The assumption that our privacy hasn't been violated by the kinds of online providers that we frequent, you know, maybe they aren't, but maybe they are. So it's a whole other way of dealing with your personal and confidential material. Hey, wait a second. We know it's risky, but that's the way it is right now, David, and it's really disgraceful. Because nobody, but nobody, is safe from prying eyes and prying hands.
Very interesting article. I don't know how much credence we can give to it, Alan. From the Daily Mail, Ocasio-Cortez could run for Senate next and test socialist message across New York State and might run against Chuck Schumer in a primary to make the jump. It also says she might challenge Senator Gillibrand.
Oh, brother. Now, that's really interesting. You remember, New York is a fairly big place. You know, Ocasio-Cortez has certainly gained the admiration of many young people and others, and as being somebody who's a bit of a deal-breaker in terms of our relationship with the more staid politicians. And, of course, you can't count her out. We learned that as she beat a long-standing icon in New York City. Nevertheless, New York is a big place. Schumer has a great deal of power, and, you know, he's capable of turning on the energy when he needs to. She, of course, could do it. I'm not counting her out, but I think it's a bit of a stretch. Now, Gillibrand, who, you know, has fairly good ratings with folks, is a different story. She, of course, has made a bit of a fool of herself by campaigning assiduously and finding virtually no support, but keeps on. Look, she's a powerful woman. She's a United States senator. And a lot of people want things from United States senators. They want something from the senator, so they may give you a little bit of money for, may, I said, give you money for the presidential run. So I think Gillibrand would be a little bit more vulnerable. Of course, Ocasio-Cortez would then stand accused of running against a woman. And one of the things that she stands for, obviously, is a new brand of feminism.
It was quite the scene in Manhattan yesterday, Alan, and caused quite a panic in at least the building where it turned out a helicopter crashed on the roof. We had the governor, Andrew Cuomo, speaking at a press conference, reliving what he called the PTSD of 9/11 that a lot of New Yorkers go through when something like this happens.
Well, that's right. Airplanes and big buildings are something that are in everybody's mind. Apparently, this was just a mess up, an accident, but it's the first thing that comes into everybody's head. This is a terrorist issue.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, as always, we thank you.
And we thank you, David. Not easy getting up this early in the morning. I know that.
That's why there's coffee.